Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio with Taylor and Rebecca and Karen and Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. And we are in James 1, 19 through 27. And last time we talked about how powerful words are and that they can even affect water.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I didn't get to finish the concept because we realized we only had 30 seconds left when we looked up. Okay, so my husband had showed me a video on Sunday by the Kingdom Random, and it was testing out. He likes to do scientific tests. He had saw in a book that this guy did some research to see how water, when it's freezing, was affected by the words that were spoken to it. And that when the words that were spoken were good words, like what we would call faith-based words, love, joy, hope, patience, kindness, they formed beautiful snowflake crystals. But when words like lust, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, things that we listed off last time from the Galatians 5:19 passage, they actually formed ugly clumps. And so the power of the word, a spoken word, has even on God's creation, which makes sense because he tells us in Scripture, he says, even creation will cry out if we do not, that the rocks will.
I was just going to say the rocks.
And so this reminded me, and I've shared this countless times on the radio, Dr. Carolyn Leaf out of Australia has a book called Who Switched Off My Brain? And she did research on the mind and what happens in the mind physically when we speak faith-based words and what happens when we speak what is not faith-based. So she took the clients and hooked the MRI on their head and spoke to them, and when it was love, joy, peace, patience, words that she would speak, the brain would light up and immediately turn green. And the dendrites, which are like little trees, they would connect and they would bloom, and the brain would just become a bright green, and it would grow, and it would just keep igniting, and it made the brain come alive. When the non-faith-based words like hate and anger and jealousy and lust and strife and jealousy were spoken, the dendrites that were green in the brain would begin to crumble. And they shrunk down and they went from green to yellow to red to black. And it actually caused portions of the brain to die. Mm. That literally we speak life into ourselves based on speaking faith-based truth. And that's why it's so important we track what we say to ourselves or even what we say to each other. And that was what the scientific experiment was. And we have to understand that's why God's word is so powerful. And that's why the words that we plant in others is so powerful. And that's why when we are in a situation where we are angry, that we don't. And so that is the crazy part. So Greg had shown me the video. We're in the bedroom. We were just changing from church. And I still have lots of pain in my feet from my injury. And so he looked over at me and he looks down at my feet and goes, "Oh, you have beautiful feet. What pretty feet you have. Feet, you are so good. Feet, you are so healthy. Feet, you don't hurt." And so he was talking to my feet. But do you see how quickly, because if you've listened to the show over several weeks, first week I shared, probably 10 minutes later, we got into the worst fight I think we've had in a year. And so it just was like one moment we were giving praise and the next minute we were blah. And so how easy it is to have
it
happen.
Is easy.
But we should speak life. Now, in the Greek, I wanted y'all to hear this, that when he says that we are to remove filth or evil, the filth and evil in our lives, it comes from riparia. And it is found only here in the New Testament, and it's the only time. But it's also related to riparos, which occurs in James 2:2 and in Zechariah 3:3-4. And this is referring to the filthy, shabby clothing that a person might have. So when he's saying that we should get rid of the filth and the evil in us, that literally, just like if we were wearing dirty, stinky clothes, we want to undress from those things. And practically, that means we have to tell ourselves how to dress with our verbal and our emotional responses. And so one of the things that I do, and I shared this in the first show, I will get out what my anger is about, and then I will ask God to help me to focus on the good of the character of the person I'm upset with, and then I ask God to help me to reveal my sin, and then I repent of my sin. Do you see? And as I'm doing that, I'm getting out the yuck, I'm putting in the good, and I'm repenting of the yuck in me, and then I'm able to be where I can restore myself in the situation. Right. And so that's kind of like the process I take in order to get the filth out of me so that I don't allow it to have a part of who I am.
Yeah, because if you don't, excuse me, if you don't deal with that anger, then it becomes rage and just all kinds of ugliness, bitterness.
It does. It does. And it's unfortunate. So one of the things that James says is he says, if we don't do these things, in verse 22, he says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. I was going to have Rebecca read the passage. I want us to take the whole context of the James, and then we'll go in and focus on 1:22 when she's done. So James 1:19-27.
Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
Such a good passage. Okay, so you can see how we've looked at being slow to anger and quick to listen, thinking through that which is important to God and making that our thought process, and then taking off the filthy rags. And James 1:22 said he's challenging us not to think that just because we're listening that we are actually
hearing.
Doing.
Oh.
Okay, so can you actually hear something? Can you read the Word of God? Let me ask this. Have you ever been reading the Word of God and you've read several pages and you don't remember what you read?
Yes.
Have you ever driven home from something and you don't remember you drove home?
Yeah. Or go somewhere, yep. You just go.
It's automatic.
Yes.
Okay. We can do that with the Word of God, and pretty much that's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Just because you have read it, or you are listening to it, does not mean that you are obeying it.
Right.
So anytime Scripture uses the word listen, or if Jesus says listen, listen, it actually means to listen with a readiness to respond. Like it has to have an action. If we are actually hearing mm-hmm. what God's word says, that means I am applying what it says.
Yeah, the word is here, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy for us to be like the person who looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets what they look like.
I think that's why it's so good to meditate on the word too, because, or the verse or whatever you're on, because you're actually reading it and thinking about it, meditating on it, and then you actually interpret what Jesus wants you to do with
it. Right. It's good. It's good. So I can turn it so I can see.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I couldn't see the monitor.
I'm like, what?
What is she doing? I need to see the monitor to know our time. Okay, so with the mirror, one of the theologians, when we were looking at this, he said it's kind of almost like you have like spiritual Alzheimer's.
That's good.
I'm like, Well, the sad thing is with Alzheimer's, it's permanent.
Yes.
So I don't know. I was like, short-term memory, maybe, I don't know, Lord, what would that look like? I don't want to deceive myself to think that I am a person that, but just because I've spent time reading the Bible this morning, that I'm actually walking out what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he says here, he goes, if you do this, you see yourself walk away and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you. You will be blessed. Like that act of obedience. And that reminds me of the moment when Jesus walked up to John the Baptist and he says, baptize me. And he's like, I can't baptize you. I'm not even worthy of like tying your sandals. Mm-hmm. And he said, you must in order to fulfill righteousness now. And that communicated to me when I read that obedience in the moment fulfills righteousness in the moment. So when I'm willing to stop, pause, draw near to God, allow God to make a change happen in me so that I don't sin, mm-hmm. I'm allowing obedience to take place, which then fulfills righteousness. Mm-hmm. And that's the blessing. And so we want that to be how God works in us. I wish I had it 100% of the time. I don't, but we're all in that process. So let's take some look at some verses about hearing and doing the word of God. So Karen, go to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Rebecca, you do Matthew 15, 8 through 9. Taylor, you do Matthew 21, 28 through 32. Sandy, I want you to do Matthew 23, 1 through 3. And I will do Romans 2, 13. Okay, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at the differences between hearing and doing the Word of God. Okay, go ahead, Karen.
I'm sorry, which one was my Matthew
7? Matthew 7, 24 through 27.
Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash.
Okay. So if we don't listen and obey, I mean, we're just like the sand that gets pulled out from the ocean. It just can destroy us. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next.
15, 8 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.
Making sure that what I'm speaking is God's word and not my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I had a circumstance once where I was sitting and I was talking to a person that, you know, had just led a group of people. And I was processing, you know, just asking questions to find out. And not once did the person talk about the word of God or a truth of God or even like how they communicated that. It was all about like their opinions on certain topics. And it grieved my heart as I was thinking through this because he says, you know, we need to make sure it's the word and not our opinion. So guarding that. Okay. Taylor?
Matthew 21, 28 through 32. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did, and even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him.
So a person who hears the word and doesn't apply, but thinks that because I have a moral life, I'm going to get into heaven, versus a person who may have been a really, really rough sinner, he said a prostitute, hears the word and begins to apply. That's the person that's going to enter the kingdom mm-hmm. of God. God greatly expects us to be applying what we're hearing.
Okay, Matthew 23, 1 through 3. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach.
Mm-hmm. Because, okay, so this is a hard one. The questions people ask is like, why do I have to do what they're reading when they're not doing it? Because they're reading the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Even though they may not be applying it, what they are speaking is truth. And the danger of that is that, you know, truth spoken in from the wrong voice, it's dangerous. In fact, in Matthew, right now in this part of the Sermon on the Mount that I'm learning, I'll just tell this portion. It'll be my practice for today. Jesus says, do not misunderstand. I'm not coming to abolish the law. I'm coming to fulfill the law. See, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one little jot or one little tittle of my word shall disappear. Mm. And if you ignore just the smallest little piece of the word of God, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You will be the least. If you obey the word of God and you teach it to others, you will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And so he tells us here that, you know, how we treat the word affects whether or not we will be the least or the greatest in the kingdom on how we affect the word. My passage is Romans 2:13. And it says, for merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is the obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. And I thought, how many people go to church? Well, this Sunday, we're recording this the week before Easter. But it'll actually, the actual recording will happen weeks after. But a lot of people will go to church on Sunday and they're going to hear the word of God and feel like they have fulfilled their yearly duty. Mm-hmm. And but scripture says here that if you're not obeying it, it's not in, you're not obeying in God's sight. So he takes pretty seriously the hearing and the obeying of his word. And it affects our lives. And he calls this the perfect law. Why do you think he calls it the perfect law?
The one you just were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Just scripture. Why does he call it the perfect law?
I mean, it's perfect.
That's what I was just going to say, because it's perfect.
Without flaw or without fault. Or
right.
Yeah. In other places in Scripture, it says that nothing can contest it, you know, whereas the things that fall within Galatians 5:19, there is a law against those, but when you do love, no law can stand against love. Mm-hmm. And so it's perfect when we use God's
love,
law, and it gives us freedom.
Yeah, love what? Conquers all sin, or
it does. Yeah. It does. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at cultivatinghearts.org, tararye.com, or opendoormission.org. God bless.